Amen. If you would grab your Bibles, turn to the book of John, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We sang the Pentecostal power that is not speaking in tongues. All right. Don't be alarmed by the word Pentecostal, all right? John chapter 10. That'd be the power of the Holy Ghost showing up and actually working in people's lives for real. Instead of vain babblings, I'll go with. John chapter 10, and we'll pick up verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Of course, the Jews go ahead and they want to stone him for blasphemy, but we already know he's just telling them the truth. Here's Jesus Christ, and he refers to those who believe on him and get eternal life. He refers to them as sheep, and if you're in here tonight and you're saved, and probably the vast majority, if not all of you, are saved on your way to heaven, God deems you a sheep. Now, that seems really horrible when you think about sheep, but right? I mean, if you really want to qualify sheep, they're kind of smelly. They don't know where they're going. They get lost and they kind of fall off things, you know. They really are helpless, right? They're kind of annoying, right, with the bleeding of the sheep. They're just, you know, sheep aren't really like the greatest of things. Unless you look at them from the eyes of a shepherd. That's the oddity. See, the oddity is that sheep can be considered, you know, these dumb, awful, terrible, stinky animals. And then God looks at us and he says, yeah, but my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. See, Jesus Christ is the great shepherd that we have. Jesus Christ as the shepherd is one of the most amazing pictures in the Bible. And if you really think about it, we're not always the brightest, right? And if he didn't lead us and he didn't guide us and he didn't take care of the green pastures he put us in, if he doesn't lead us beside some still waters, if he doesn't take care of things, you and I really don't know what we're doing, right? So sheep, kind of good idea, right? That's kind of a good analogy that the Lord decided to draw there, even if we don't always like that idea. We get ourselves into plenty of messes, and we fall down an awful lot, and we need his help often, and sometimes he needs to go ahead and find that lost sheep that's gone astray and go grab it and bring it back, and sometimes the sad reality is he has to break our leg, right, Brother Thomas? Just so we stay right where we're supposed to stay. Sometimes he has to do those kind of things, but that's because he is the good shepherd. Jesus Christ, the shepherd, and we're going to look at him tonight. I like this analogy. I just like that I get to brag on him tonight. You know, sometimes this morning was a little heavy. I don't know if you were in here, if you were here this morning, it felt a little heavy in here on Philippians chapter 2. That's a hard pattern to follow, and we had some good patterns in there, but then we get to think tonight just about our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to talk about him in three ways, and we'll see what the Bible has on that. Lord, we do come before a wonderful throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And tonight we need the presence of God to come down and meet with us and speak with our hearts personally. Lord, I pray you'd help us to get a good vision of our shepherd tonight. I pray you'd be an encouragement and a strengthening to each and every one of us. Lord, to remember the great shepherd we have and the shepherd and bishop of our souls who's taken care of everything for us for all of eternity. And Lord, I pray you'd give me some great wisdom as I speak, and as I try to glorify and give you honor, I pray you'd just give me the right words to say so that I could do, Lord, even the slightest bit of justice to how great you are. And Lord, I do pray you would bless us tonight. I don't know if someone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior. If they're not one of his sheep, I pray you would help them to see their need of a Savior, and they'd call upon that good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life a ransom for many. Father, once again, we pray you'd bless our night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look back here at the beginning of John chapter 10, and we're going to read a lengthy spot right here. I'll probably pause in between pieces of it, but here he is in John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. By the way, in a moment, well, let's jump down to verse number 11, and then we'll go back to the beginning again. He says, verse number 11, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ, first I want to see, is the good shepherd. You read this passage from verse 1 down to verse 18, and you read all about him being that good shepherd. His statement here is that if you come in some other way, you're a thief and a robber. And he says, but you know what I do? I call my sheep by name and I lead them out. Amen. The good shepherd knows your name. Amen. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He goes ahead and leads, and he's just ready to go ahead and take you where you need to go. He's the good shepherd. In the passage, he's the good shepherd here. Verse number 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. By the way, the good shepherd is somebody you can know. He's not some stranger. He's not some God sitting up in a throne where you can't attain and you can't meet to and you can't approach to him and you can't have anything to do with it. He's not somebody who's afar off. He's a God that's near and not far. He's the God that wants you to know that not only does he know who you are, you can know who he is. He is the good shepherd. It's all these good things about him. He goes before us, and you know what he does? He not only is he the good shepherd, he's the good shepherd that leads the way. He goes in front of us, and he leads us, and he guides us, and he's supposed to be the one that we follow. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. By the way, I'll just slide this in. You get to know his voice. You get to know his voice. You should know when he's speaking versus when a stranger's speaking. You know, you get into a meeting and you get into preaching, and next week we're going to have the friends in. I think the Lord's going to be speaking to folks and through the preaching of the Word of God. And oftentimes in messages and in sermons you get to hear and you get the Lord speaking to you. But outside of church, God still speaks to us. You open the pages of the Bible and you hear a song or you have an incident. How many times have you just been in the world and just had some thing happen and it just reminds you of something way back in the Scriptures somewhere that you'd read or you thought of? You thought, oh man, there it is, right there. And the Lord just speaks to you. Sometimes the Lord just says, hey, you need to give them a track. Hey, you need to talk to them. Hey, or sometimes he says, hey, you need to stay away from that area over there. Isn't that nice? When he goes, hey, you might want to avoid that right there. And you just go, okay, you might not even know why you got to stay away from that. But God's just leading and guiding, and he's just saying, hey, just trust me. Don't go over there. You don't want to deal with that. Well, yeah, but I don't know what's over there. Yeah, but I do, so don't worry about it. Just come with me. I'll protect you. I'll keep you safe. We'll just keep walking the direction we ought to go. It's a wonderful thing to know his voice and not get distracted by the voice of strangers. You get to verse 6, he says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Not only is he the shepherd and the good shepherd, he's the one who allows people to come in and out of the sheepfold. How about that? He is the door to the sheep. Talk about extra protection on that one.
He says in verse 10, of course, a picture to the devil, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says, hey, you know what I'm doing? You know what the good shepherd does? He tries to make it so that the sheep always have the best life. He's not about the shepherd having a better life. He's all about the sheep having the best life. He leads them to the best grass, the best fields, the best place for them to get the nourishment that they need. He leads them beside the still waters. His rod and his staff are there to make sure protect them and keep them safe and go ahead. And why? Because he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Amen. Jesus Christ is such a good shepherd that he's willing to go ahead and give his life so that you and I could have abundant life. He goes ahead and does everything necessary to make it so that you and I could become his sheep and put us into his sheepfold and save us for all of eternity. He goes ahead and he's got that rod and that staff, and sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we don't like to get, you know, that hook and that beating and that little bump over and that little catch. And he's just trying to keep us where we need to be so that we can be safe and we can be secure so he can save us for all of eternity. You know, the good shepherd is Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's where he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is there at Calvary dying for the sins of the lost world. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, has given his life for you and I so that we could have eternal life, just like he said later in the chapter that we already read. He's ready to lay down and give his life so the sheep can have life. He says in verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know what he says? He says everybody else may scatter, everybody else may run, but you're my sheep. And I'll lay down my life for my sheep. What an incredible picture. Well, I don't really like being called a sheep. Okay. I'm pretty happy when I start reading John chapter 10 that I'm a sheep. Amen. It's pretty to be a sheep when you got Jesus as your shepherd. Amen. It's not a hireling anymore. It's a guy who actually cared about you and wants to go ahead and make sure you're safe and secure and everything will be taken care of. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about your eternal soul right here. Safe and secure forever. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says in verse 17, therefore doth my, or verse 16, I'm sorry, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's waiting for them to come join up on the flock, amen. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. We'll get to that there in just a minute. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know, he gets in front of Pontius Pilate there, and he's standing in front of Pilate. Pilate's getting mad at him, right? Because Jesus stops answering, right? He shuts up. He just gets real quiet, and Pilate doesn't know how to. And he looks at Jesus, and he says, don't you know I've got power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? And Jesus finally answers right there. And it's not the answer Pilate wants to hear. It's the answer Jesus is going to give, though. And he goes, you could have no power at all except it were given thee from above. You can't do a thing to me if I don't let you do it. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the shepherd we have. And you know what he says? I'm going to go ahead and lay down my life for the sheep. But in a moment, I'm going to take it right back up again. He goes, I might get killed for a moment, but don't worry, I'm coming back up. Because I am the good shepherd, but not only is the good shepherd, he's also the great shepherd. Look over at Hebrews chapter 13. I'll get ahead of myself. Hebrews chapter 13. I may get a little excitable tonight, all right? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Not only is He the good shepherd dying, giving His life for the sheep, He is the great shepherd who now liveth and abideth forever. That's who He is. He came up, the day He came up from that grave, 3 days later after they put Him down, He steps back out of that grave triumphant and victorious. He is no longer just the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. He is the great shepherd who is living today to lead and guide you into all truth now. He is not just a gone past shepherd that is left there in a grave and He gave His life and that's it. It's no more use to us. It was just there to go ahead and die and protected us for a moment. No, He's there to give everlasting life. He is there to give the eternal life that you and I have. But not only does He give us that, He wants us to have life and to have life more abundant now. And so because of that, He raises from the dead. He becomes the great shepherd who's living now so that you and I can know His will. So you and I can walk in His ways. So you and I can grow and become the sheep and raised up the way that we're supposed to. He's given us the best pastures. He's given us the best water. He's given us all the things we need. He's taken care of us over again. And He looks at us and He says, I'm just here to protect you. I'm just here to lead you. I'm just here to give to you. I'm here to secure you, not just for eternity, but today I'm here to take care of you. He is the all-sufficient Savior because He is the great shepherd. That's who He is. He can't escape the fact that He is so great. You look at the Lord in the Old Testament and He is great as the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is so great. Who is so great a God as our God? Every time you turn around, you know, we come up with these words and we try to make all these things bigger and better and more amazing than we possibly could. And then you get to the word great. How do you improve upon great? Like, what's being better than great? You know why Alexander was called Alexander the Great? Herod the Great, who tried to eliminate Jesus Christ. Peter the Great. All these guys, you know why they tagged the great on? Because they're trying to be like God. And the best attribute they can ever come up with is great. Say, who is He? He's the great shepherd. The great shepherd. Look what He's doing. Verse number 21. He wants to make you perfect in every good work. You know what God's doing in your life? You know what Jesus Christ is trying to do as the good shepherd? As the great shepherd? He's trying to make you perfect to every good work. You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to show you how to do it right every time. Every time. Isn't the goal the perfecting of the saints? Isn't that what we're trying to do? Aren't we trying to get better and better and try to be more like Christ and more like our shepherd and follow along and try to do it His way and take His steps and His movements and His... We're trying to follow along and do what He told us to do. You know what He's doing? He's just trying to make you perfect. In this life, try to make you as close to perfect as He can. And you say, what's the problem? The sheep are the problem. Certainly not the great shepherd. It's you and I that are the problem. But boy, He's doing everything He can to do what? Make sure that you're perfect. Make sure you're just as close. You know what He did? He gave you the Word of God. He gave you the Word of God. He gave you other Christians and pastors and people in your life to go ahead and try and help you understand what you're doing wrong and what you're doing right. And He gave you, of course, the Word of God, right, to reprove, rebuke, exhort. He's trying to work in our lives and correct us and sustain us and move us and help us. And he's always trying to give us all the right things. You know, Psalm 23, I keep quoting pieces of it here and there, right? You know, I think I've said this before, but they put that into a college course. They put that into a classroom of these wonderfully educated, dumber than a hammer group of college students, because you got to be educated to be as dumb as these people are. You say, wow, that was rough. Well, when you get handed Psalm 23 and your answer is, that is a horrible, terrible passage. That mean dictator
making me lie down in green pastures. How horrible this is. And how controlling. He has me sit down at a table in front of mine enemies and have me eat with my... What if I don't like those? I don't like them. They're my enemies. Why would I have that? So what is that? That is complete ignorance. That's what that is. They don't understand the passage. They don't understand what God's doing for them in that passage. If they'd be willing to let him be the shepherd, they would find out how great it is to have a God who would go ahead and lead you beside the still waters and make you lie down in green pastures and go ahead and do all the things that he does. They would understand that if he prepared a table before them in the presence of his enemies, that's because he's going ahead and protecting you in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies don't have any way to touch you at that particular moment. He goes, I'll go ahead and I'll provide for you and I'll take care of you, and everybody, all your enemies will look around and they'll see the blessings of God upon you when they don't have them. There it is. Oh, in front of my enemies, they don't understand it. Oh, he makes me. Well, is he forcing me? By the way, it'll do you good if God has to force you sometimes to lay down in green pastures. Boy, how terrible that would be. Some of you are like me. You'd love a good nap down in the green pasture. Just lay down and just be done. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take an extra 10 minutes, please. Thank you. All right? Amen? It's just so horrible. That you got to be educated to be dumb enough to think that Psalm 23 is about some horrible, awful dictator of a person. It's one of those beautiful passages in the Scriptures and how wonderful God is to us. And having his mercy and his grace upon us and his blessings upon us. And they look at that and they look and you know what it is? It's them calling good evil. That's all it is. They don't understand how great of a shepherd he is. And the great shepherd, you know what he's doing? He's doing everything for your benefit today. He did everything for your benefit as the good shepherd, and he laid down his life so you could have eternal life. Then he turns around and living he loved me, and dying he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. What a wonder it is. He's here, and you know what else he says? He says he's working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Not only is the great shepherd going ahead and trying to perfect you, but he's inside you trying to fix it from the inside out. Christianity is very strange. Real Christianity is strange because it is the only place in the world where you find that God comes inside of a man. My God comes inside of me to make me into what he needs me to be. World doesn't have that. Religion doesn't have that. You're constantly trying to attain in religion to something that God could get, that you could get from God. Can I earn this and make it work and do all these things? And in real Christianity, he saves you and then he comes inside you. And he goes, I'm going to work inside you from the inside out. You know why people get all flustered about the idea of standards and, oh, well, you know, if you don't dress right and you don't do all these things on the outside. You know what the trouble is? The trouble is you can always clean up the outside and it's awful hard to clean up the inside. You can walk in and look great and everything can be perfect and everything can be nice and polished and great and amazing. But if you major on that side, you know what you'll lose out on? The inward working. It's a whole lot better if it works from the inside and God changes the outside. Because if the inside doesn't change and the outside changes, all you did was sanitize. That's all you did. But you didn't get anything really clean. If you clean from the inside out, you get a perfect change. You get something that's permanent, as opposed to something that was manufactured so that you could feel better about it. Well, yeah, but if they're not dressing or they're not doing or they're not, okay. Yeah, but you can honor them with your lips and praise them with your mouth all day, but if your heart's not there, you don't have it. Say, so what did God do? He came in as the great shepherd. You know what he did? He came inside you to change you from the inside out.
so that you could be well-pleasing in His sight. You know, I could stand here and we could go ahead and do all these, this wonderful list of standards, and we can roll them all out and tell you all the things you ought to do and all the things you shouldn't do and all the... We could do that. It'd be wonderful. Not one of us would be able to do any of the list. We'd fail at some point, and then we'd beat ourselves up because we didn't live up to the standards that pastor set. I don't set your standard. The Lord's supposed to set your standard. That's why He came inside you, to go ahead and perfect you. And sometimes He'll tell you to do something that He doesn't tell somebody else to do. And sometimes He'll tell them to do something that He didn't tell you to do. But you better be doing what He told you to do. Why? Because He's the great shepherd. And that's why you should know His voice. That way when He leads and He directs and the great shepherd says, hey, do this or hey, don't do that, you're following the shepherd. Because He knows you and you're supposed to know Him. He's the living great shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now we're really going to get... I was a little excited a minute ago. We're going to get really excited now. Because now He's not just the good shepherd. And He's not even just the great shepherd. Here in 1 Peter chapter 5, He's the chief shepherd. As the good shepherd, He was dying for our sins. As the great shepherd, He was living to go ahead and make us perfect. But as the chief shepherd, He's coming again. Verse number 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Here He comes. You say, who is He? He's the chief shepherd, and He's coming back. And you say, well, I know right here He's just talking about those under-shepherds that He's got, those elders, those pastors that He has in place, and He's going to give them a crown. Yeah, but that's not the only crown available, right? When He shows up, when that chief shepherd comes back, you know what He's coming back for? He's coming back for His sheep. And He goes ahead and grabs all of His sheep. He gathers them all. He says, hey, I'll go ahead and bring all the sheep home. It's time to come home. I'm going to lead you up and out of this place. And He goes ahead and says, hey, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. And away we go. And He raptures us up out of this place, and we come up out of here, and the chief shepherd leads us one final time. I like this right here. He calls us up to Him. My sheep hear My voice, and I call them by name. Lazarus, come forth. What's it? Oh, hey, John, you come up hither. Hey, come on up here. It's time to go. And away we go. And a come up hither comes out, and the chief shepherd calls for you. And he says, hey, it's time to come. And we start following out. And you say, what does he do? Well, he doesn't come down all the way to here. We meet him in the air. Say, why? You know, I got the new dog over there, and he's all right, but he is real fast. Milo is fast. Please do not run from him. He will overtake you. I don't care how fast you are. He will overtake you. That is what he does. And so we were out, and I like to do something with him, and I didn't do it today, but I do like to do it. I'll take his ball. And we'll come out to the back here, and I'll get right about where the final maple trees are back there, and just before the field. And I'll just reach back, and as far as I can throw, I'll just launch it. And he takes off toward the backfield, and I wait until he gets to the ball. And when he scoops the ball and starts heading back toward me, I turn and run to the house. That's the last one that we do, and I'm racing him. And every time, every time. He always seems to catch up right before I get to the stairs. I mean, he is lightning. I mean, he is quick. And you say, what's going to happen? The Lord's going to go, hey, you come up here. You say, what's he doing? He's calling you. And then just as you're about to get to him, he's going to go, okay, we're going this way. And one last lead. And where our shepherd goes, we follow. And you say, where's he going? He's going to sit right back down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you and I are going to show up in a throne room. And we're going to just see those 24 elders that are around him casting down those crowns and crying and praising and worshiping God. We're going to see those four cherubs that are standing on the four corners of that throne. We're going to hear that holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. The day the chief shepherd appears, you and I are going home to finally be with our shepherd forever. You know, you and I may wander around and we may fail and we may fall in a ditch every once in a while, and you and I may need the Lord to come and pick us back up and throw us up on his shoulder and carry us back and do all the things, and we may need him to go ahead and grab us with that shepherd's hook and pull us on back over because we're kind of going in the wrong direction again. Maybe he needs to give us that good whack and get us away. And sometimes he's going ahead and going, hey, come back over here, you're going the wrong way, and we got to listen to that voice. And sometimes we get off in the weeds a little too far and he's got to come and break a leg so that we stop wandering around and doing all the dumb things that we do. But I guarantee you one thing, when the chief shepherd appears, we're not wandering anywhere, we're going home. It's all over with at that point. And we get to go home, and he will reward his sheep awfully well. He says his reward is with him. You know what he wants? He wants to reward some sheep. I don't know why I deserve to get a reward for anything. Especially if you're just one of those dumb sheep. Amen? Why is the shepherd giving us anything? But boy, he wants to. And if we'd be willing to follow him, you know what we gain? We gain all the reward we can possibly muster. Because he's always been the good shepherd. I just wanted to brag on him tonight. And I don't really know that I want to do much of an invitation. We'll sing something, I don't know. But boy, isn't it great to have a shepherd? Amen. The Bible calls him the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He is the good shepherd who died for me. He is the great shepherd who's living to make intercession for me now. And he's the chief shepherd, and when he gets here, I'm going home. Let's go ahead and stand tonight. I tell all my guys in preaching, you need to come and bring them down to a decision. So this is all I got. This is all, one of the other messages I looked at today was a message I wrote years and years ago on those 10 lepers. Right? And they get cleansed, but only one shows back up to thank him. So boy, one of the earmarks of our day is on thankfulness. And so maybe you just need to come and say, thank you. Thank you for being such a good shepherd to me. Thank you for leading me beside the still waters and putting me in those green pastures. And thank you that one day you're coming back to get me. Thank you. I don't know. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation. Lord, I don't know, maybe somebody here is lost. Maybe they aren't saved. Maybe they have no idea what it's like to have a great shepherd like we have. I pray they'd realize that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And he gave his life for them. And if they'd be willing, he'd go ahead and make them part of his sheepfold. Father, I pray once again, you'd just bless us. I pray you'd come back soon. I pray the chief shepherd would appear tonight. Lord, you'd call us on home and we'd get to go finally see our wonderful Savior face to face. Father, bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.